John tonight. Chapter number one. Back to the Gospel of John. And we're going to be finishing up what we started this morning and hopefully get finished. Amen. I got to the end of the message, end of service today, and just like every time, I thought, boy, I just wish I could just start over. Just so much ground to cover. It's so hard to fit it all in, and so much to say and could be said, but you just gotta go on, I guess. Amen. Just give what the Lord puts on your heart. And so we're looking tonight in the Gospel of John, and looking at the ministry and specifically the witness of John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, according to Jesus Christ. He said, of all the men born of women, there is not one greater than John the Baptist. Amen. And so we're looking at his witness tonight. We'll go back and we'll read these verses, get us up to speed, and then give you what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. So in John chapter 1, verse number 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. They asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood, the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the good service you've given us already, the songs and the good testimonies and how you've stirred our hearts. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. I pray that you'd bless, Lord, each one. Lord, bless each family represented. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you through your word. Teach us more of you. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts concerning the man, Jesus Christ. Lord, we need revival in these days. Lord, I know and believe with all my heart, nothing would stir us unto revival more than, Lord, setting our affections on Jesus. Lord, being stirred concerning the darling Son of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to look deeply into your word. And we know that these things are not received by the natural man. They are foolishness unto him. These things are spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God, Lord, would give utterance tonight, but would give eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to receive from heaven what you would have us to receive. And Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be here among us tonight. Lord, if there be one here tonight that is lost, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, if they've been in church 30 years, Lord, I pray that today they'd be born again. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, they'd repent and believe the gospel. Lord, get something real. Lord, be able to serve you and do a work for you in these days. Lord, we want to thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen and amen. So we're looking at the witness of John the Baptist. We've been going through this text and going to just kind of walk through the text, or at least the remainder of the text, with you tonight. But if you recall this morning, we began looking at the ministry of John the Baptist and looked specifically this morning at the witness of John about himself. This coalition of priests and Levites have been sent by the Pharisees out to the wilderness to question John concerning himself. And John, of course, is constantly turning the attention away from himself and putting it on to who really matters. Amen. You know, that ought to be the testimony of all of us. All of us ought to be like John and constantly be trying to turn the attention away from us and put it on who really matters. Because you and I really don't matter. I mean, let's just be honest with you. Amen. And so the reality is that the only thing ever good about any of us is Him. Amen. The only thing that will ever be good about humanity is Jesus. Amen. If anything good ever comes out of our life, if any eternal work ever comes out of our life, it'll be that which is done for and through and because of Him. Amen? And they were singing those songs earlier. And boy, I just got to think, it always stirs my heart. Of all the blessings in my life that have come because of serving Him, it's all because of Him. Amen? Listen, I've not worked and earned a living, and I've not earned all the money, what little money I've got, and I've not earned the good living that I have. No, it's all because of Him. Amen? If we don't have Him and don't have His blessings, we'll put all of our money, we'll put all of our blessings, we'll put all of it into a bag with holes. That's what God told Israel. Amen. You put it all in a bag with holes. And that's the way all of our life would be if it wasn't for Him. If He doesn't touch and He doesn't breathe upon it, if He doesn't bless that which we do, it will not be blessed. Amen. But I want you to just think for a second about all the blessings in your life and everything you have, all the good things in your life that you've got just because you've served Him. Amen? I remember Brother Todd McKeon talking about, of course, you know, we all know Brother Todd. He's in evangelism. He's talked about all the places all around the world that he's been able to go and all the trips that him and his family have been able to go on. He'll be out preaching a meeting somewhere, you know, out west maybe, and since they're already out there, they'll get to go and see the Grand Canyon or something like that, or see all these different sites and things. And he always used to say that he always used to make it a point to make sure his girls understood. We know he's got them 2 daughters, you know, he just got them all married off. And he used to always make it a point to make sure they know and understand that the reason we're here, the reason we're doing this, the reason we're able to see these things and go these places and be blessed with it in this way is because we're serving God. Amen. Because of the ministry, because we've given our lives to Jesus. Amen. And I tell you, the living for God is a life of sacrifice. Amen. But I tell you, it's also the best life you can live. Amen. Jesus said, no one's ever sacrificed anything for me that I don't want return it 100-fold in this life and the life hereafter. Isn't that right? And I tell you, as I look out tonight and I see my little boys in church and I see my wife in church with me and I see my family in church with me and I look at the ministry God's gave me, what little I am, it's all because of Him. Amen. And I tell you, what you have in your life, the greatest things you have, will all come from Him. Amen. And the least we could ever do is turn the attention off of us and on to Him. Because no one in this world needs to see you. No one in this world needs to see me. No one needs to hear me preach a message. Amen. They need to hear the Holy Spirit preach to them. Amen. Reminds me of like whenever they brought that woman caught in adultery. In the very act, the Bible says. It don't get worse than that. Caught in the very act. That's what we call being caught red-handed. I mean, in the very act, it says. And they brought that adulterous woman to Jesus, and they put her down at the foot of Jesus. Amen. And they want to know what Jesus said ought to be done. They were ready to take up stones. They were ready to stone her. Amen. And the Bible says Jesus started writing in the sand. Amen. He didn't say anything to them. He just wrote in the sand. And I heard one preacher say, the Bible talks about how when he started writing the sand, the conviction started coming to their heart. They started getting conviction, and one by one, they dropped their stones, and they hung their head and walked away because of the conviction deep in their heart. And one preacher said, no one was talking, but somebody was talking. Amen? Jesus wasn't saying anything to them, but somebody was talking to them. Amen? And that's what people need. Amen? They don't need to hear us. They don't need to hear from us. They don't need to see us. They need to see and hear from Him. Amen? Tell you, we could take a lesson from John, couldn't we? Amen. If we ever do anything for God, we're going to have to get over ourselves. Amen. I'm going to have to get over me. You're going to have to get over you. Amen? If we'll ever do anything for God. I tell you, our flesh, that Adamic man in our flesh, the main focus of the flesh is itself. And somebody who is self-centered and their life consists of only about them, you can guarantee they're not walking the Spirit. And that's true of me, and that's true of you whenever we're that way. Amen? Listen, the Spirit of God will never be self-seeking. It'll be Christ-seeking. Amen? And by the way, a spiritual church will never be self-seeking. A spiritual church will be Christ-seeking. It'll be a Savior. It won't be a seeker-sensitive church. It'll be a Savior-sensitive church. Amen? I'm not interested in a seeker-sensitive or a seeker-friendly movement. I'm interested in a Savior-friendly movement. I'm interested in Him. Amen? Whether the crowds are big or the crowds are small, He is the one that is important. Amen? It's all about Him. Praise God. And so the witness stand is not a grandstand. And that's what John the Baptist is doing. John the Apostle, writing the Gospel, is called John the Baptist to the witness stand, so to speak. And he's using some selected material out of his life and his ministry to prove and to testify of his claim that he has made concerning Jesus Christ in the first 18 verses, the prologue. Amen? And that's what he is doing. So he's used John the Baptist's witness concerning himself. But the next thing I want you to see tonight, and I want to give you a few things about this, and then I'll be done, and that is the witness of John about Jesus. He doesn't just use his witness about himself, but he uses the witness of John about the Lord. Now they've come here, and they've come to check out John the Baptist. But what John sends them back a message with has nothing to do with him. He hasn't given them anything regarding his credentials or his pedigree. They're asking him about him. Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? Who are you? Who gives you this authority? What are you doing? But John doesn't give them anything about himself. He only turns and talks about Jesus. I want to talk about him. He's what is important. And so when they've come to ask and check out John about himself, he sends them back with a message, but it's not a message about him, it's a message about Christ. He says, you go back and tell those Pharisees that sent you down here that I am a nobody. I am just a voice. I'm nothing. He said, but you go back and tell them that there's one greater than me. Amen. You go back and tell those Pharisees and their ivory towers, when they won't even come down here, he said, you go back and tell them, there's a greater man than me out there. Amen? And I'm not sure here if these men know anything about the events of Luke chapter 1, these men that have come to question. I don't know if they know anything about his birth and his father being a priest and all. I don't know if they know anything about that, but John the Baptist says nothing about his unusual birth or anything else in that chapter. He just says, you know, just basically, you just go back and tell those Pharisees and their ivory towers about Jesus. Amen? Look in verse number 27. It says, He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Amen? Whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And he said, he's coming. He said, he's preferred before me. He has the preference. Amen? In other words, you should want to know more about him than you want to know about me. In other words, John is telling them, really, I'd prefer to talk about him rather than to give you information about me. Isn't that right? I wonder how much we prefer him over anything else in our life. How much do you, how much do I, how much do we really prefer him? You know, I like to talk about a lot of things. Amen. I'm no different from anybody else. Listen, I like to talk football when it's football season. Amen. I like to talk about hunting and fishing, and I like to talk about business. I think there's a lot of things that are interesting and that I like to talk about and I like to discuss. But you know, if there's anything I could talk about, I really would prefer to talk about him. Amen. If I could talk about anything, he is my preference. Isn't that right? And I hope that's your preference too. That ought to be our preference. We ought to prefer him above anything else in our life. You know, if we're not careful, church will become become about everything else in the world except Him for us. Amen? If we're not careful, and listen, I'm not swatting anybody over the head because I'm the same way, but if we're not careful, we'll come in and we'll talk about the weather, and we'll talk about what happened last week, and we'll talk about work, and we'll talk about what we're doing next week, and we'll talk about this, that, and things that, if we just be honest, they really don't matter. They really don't matter. There's nothing wrong, and it's not sin to talk about them, but at the end of the day, listen, if we prefer it over Him, listen, we make it an idol is what we do. Isn't that right? And if we're not careful, we'll come in and our focus and our attention and our conversation will be on everything but Him. And then when it comes church time, it'll be like, well, Lord, you know, you better hurry up and meet with me. You only got me for an hour and 15 minutes. You got me for an hour and 15 minutes, Lord. So if you're going to do any talking, you better do it now. Isn't that right? Because as soon as the last amen is said, we're right back to the other things. Isn't that right? I wonder, could we just make church, church? Right? Couldn't we just make church, church? Where we come and our hearts are ready and we've prayed for the service and we've prayed that the Lord would speak to me, right? Pray that the Lord would seek me. Hey, do you ever pray that before you come to church? Is that ever your thought? Is the thought always come to church with an open hand like, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme? Or has it ever been, Lord, I'm coming to worship you? That's, by the way, that's why we call it service. Service. We come to serve. And I know there's a lot of times we come to hear from God and we need to hear from God. Isn't that right? But listen, church is about worship. It's about us putting forth worship and giving unto Him. And it's not about having open hands. It's more about having open hearts. Amen? And I wonder when the last time we ever prayed and it wasn't, Lord, talk to this person or that person or Lord, speak to them or them. But Lord, show me, like David. Lord, search me. And Lord, I pray that the preacher would preach a message to me. Amen? Oh, no. We don't want that most of the time. Lord, you sick them on them sinners. Isn't that right? Lord, I want them to just really bear down on them folks that need to hear it. That's the way the Pharisees felt about that Elijah that was supposed to come, right? According to Malachi, that Elijah was going to come and he was going to come bringing judgment. But in their mind, that was judgment on the Gentile nations because we don't need it. I don't need it. And I think if we're not careful, see that flesh doesn't change. The depravity of man hadn't changed in 2,000 years. We're just as wicked. We're just as filthy and ungodly. And your flesh, listen, behind that suit and tie, behind that nice dress you got on, listen, that flesh is as rotten as can be. Amen? And it's always interested in what's going on in everybody else's life, but rarely interested on what's down in my heart. Amen. And I think, David, I've mentioned this several times, but I think one of the most spiritual snapshots we see in David's life is when he wrote them verses. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Show me if there be any wicked way within me. Listen, only a spiritual man can say that. The flesh doesn't say that. The flesh wants my grandkids to be hearing this message. Or my kids to be hearing this. Or my husband to be hearing this. Or my wife to be hearing this. Or somebody else. Somebody else needs this, right? Because I'm so spiritual, it can't be for me. Right? Amen? I'm just simply saying, I wonder, could we come to church with that kind of mentality? That we just make church, church. That we keep holy things holy and sacred things sacred. And it's about Him and we prefer Him. And we're more interested in what He wants to say and what He wants to do in me and what He's talking about. And we're interested in worshiping Him. Could we just make church, church? Amen. John says here, in that same verse, he said, whose shoes latchet, I am unworthy to unloose. You know, that statement wouldn't mean a whole lot if it didn't have some type of significance in that culture, some type of cultural significance to the people he was talking to. And there certainly is a lot of cultural significance to that statement that he made.
Because the wealthy in this day all had servants and slaves. Right? And they were different, you know, just like today, there were different rankings, and there were you know, high-ranking servants and lower-ranking servants, all these things. But listen, the absolute lowest on the totem pole, so to speak, was the one who did the unloosing of the shoes. See, in this day, of course, we all know they wore sandals, they walked on dusty streets, their feet were dirty all the time, and it was one of the main things they did. The first thing you did when you came into a house was take the shoes off and wash your feet. We know over, and I believe it's in John 14, Jesus did that with his disciples. No, it's John 13 is what it is. Jesus did that to his disciples to show his humility. Because there's a lot of cultural significance. They would take their shoes off and they would wash their feet because their feet were always dirty. Their feet were always nasty, right? They're always dusty and they always got the world all over them. By the way, that's why it's always good for us to be getting clean constantly. Because we get the world on us so much. I'm chasing a little bit of a rabbit here, but you know, that's why that laver was never packed up in the Old Testament. You realize that? There's a reason for that. Whenever they would pack up that tabernacle, pack up that tent, they would carry it from place to place following the Lord. Listen, they would pack that thing up and they would carry it, but the laver was never packed away. It was always a mirror and it was always there because they constantly needed cleansing. Just like us, we constantly need cleansing. Amen. And that's what they would do here. They would clean. And so the wealthy masters, they always had a servant, always had a slave that would take their shoes off for them and then wash their feet for them. And it was the absolute lowest man, the absolute lowest one that would do the washing of the feet. It was the lowest job. And John says, that's where I'm at. In fact, John says, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. Unloosing the shoes and washing the feet is as low as you can get. And John says, I have to look up to get to his feet. He's that much more beyond me. He's that much better than me. He's that much more preferred than me. Now, that's pretty amazing coming from a man who's drawing crowds and he's baptizing people and people are repenting and people are getting right. It seems like God's blessing his ministry and he is the man of his day. Amen. And yet he says there's one this much better than me. I got to look up to even be at his feet. I'm that low. Verse 29, look at what he says here. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So this is day two here, right? This is a three selected days out of the ministry of John the Baptist that the Apostle John has pulled out. And over this three-day span, we've covered day one. Now we have day two. And on day two, John looks down the road and he sees a dusty figure coming. He sees a cloud of dust coming and he recognizes Jesus. And whenever he sees him coming down the road, now remember, he's just baptized the Lord 40 days prior. He's baptized him. Jesus has gone out into the wilderness. He's disappeared in the wilderness. He's been tempted. We know all those things have taken place according to the other Gospels and all those things. So all that's happened, and all the while John the Baptist has been preaching. But the next day, here he comes. Here he comes walking, and John looks and he says, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. You know, that's probably the greatest verse in all the Bible, I believe. Amen. There's a lot of great verses in the Bible, but it's hard for me to even read that verse and preach this text without getting hung up right there. Amen. Because that's exactly what he came to do, was to take away the sins of the world. Amen. And you know, we talk and testify about all all the blessings and thank God for them. About our families, about all the good things that we have. The things that money can't buy that God has blessed us with. Amen. But the greatest of them all is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Listen, if He'd blessed us with all these things and not dealt with our sins, we'd be in a mess. Amen. But if we didn't have any of those things and He'd only dealt with our sins, we'd still be the richest people that ever lived. Amen. But to have our sins taken care of. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lamb of God. John says, "Behold the Lamb." I didn't recognize Him at first, but when the Holy Spirit descended on Him, I knew for certain it was Him. And now here He is in our presence. He's here. This is Him. Now I tell you what the Jews are expecting Him to say. That's it. "Behold the King." Behold the King. Because again, they're so wrapped up in their positions and titles and all those things. As a matter of fact, don't be so hard on them, because even some of the disciples were wrapped up in that. I mean, Peter and some of those guys, they had no idea. They had no idea up to the very end. They struggled with knowing that that He wasn't talking about a literal physical kingdom. As a matter of fact, that's why Judas Iscariot got out when he did. Amen? And again, it's no different in 2023. A lot of people get out whenever they get out because they find out what Judas found out. Right? Judas kissed the very door of heaven. And he wound up dying and going to hell. And you want to know why? You want to know why that happened? Of course, we know he's the devil from the beginning, all those things. I understand all that. But at the end of the day, Judas thought there was more in it for him to serve Jesus. And when he found out there was nothing in it for him, he got out. He was thinking there was going to be an earthly kingdom. He was thinking there was going to be a position. He was jockeying for a throne, jockeying for a position. And he wanted to be esteemed. And he was imagining Jesus in all of His glory as the King sitting on the throne. By the way, we know He will be. Isn't that right? And so we know one of these days He's going to rule this thing with a rod of iron on the throne of David. Amen. That day is coming, and that will be a glorious day, will it not? Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. But Judas thought it was going to happen right then. And whenever he found out that the kingdom wasn't coming, instead it was going to be a cross, he got out while the getting was good. He sold out and he squeezed everything he could get out of Jesus. It wound up being 30 pieces of silver and he got out. Right? And so the Jews, they thought they were expecting, "Behold the King. Here comes the King. Here comes your King." And they wanted a king, but they got a lamb. Amen. They wanted a monarch, but they got a substitute. Amen. He said the King, or the Lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus wants to do. That's what He's still wanting to do. That's what He's still doing today. In 2023, He's still saving to the uttermost. And He's saving from our sins. Amen. They shall call His name Emmanuel, for He shall save His people from their sins. Amen. Oh, not their hard times. And not even the consequences of their sins necessarily. That's where a lot of them guys are down at the jail. And by the way, church is no different. Most church people are just as bad a convicts as the people in jail. Ain't that right? The flesh is no different. I don't care if it's in jail. You got jailhouse religion, you got church house religion. And so many people, they want to turn to Jesus and try Jesus, hoping it'll save them from the consequences of their sins. Right? But He never promised an easy road. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said over and over and over, "Take up your cross and follow Me." Amen. Jesus came to save us from our sins, not from the consequences of our sins. He came to save us from the judgment of our sins, the wrath of our sins. Amen? And thank God there's a lot of things I've missed out on because I've served Jesus. Amen? Amen? But He came to save us from our sin, not in our sin. But that's what He wants to do. He says that what Jesus wants to do is He wants you to gather up all your sins in your life. Gather up every evil thought, every evil act, every evil deed, every sin you've ever committed. And he says, if you'll repent of them and you'll give them to me, I'll put them in a place that they'll never be seen again. You give me your sin and I will give you my righteousness. Look in verse 31. It says, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples. Again the next day, he says. I'm going to hit pause here for just a second. We're going to read the rest of this passage here. I'm going to give you some thoughts. We're going to be done, but I'm going to hit pause just for a second. Again the next day. John the Baptist, throughout the course of this passage, has made it very clear that all he wants to talk about is Jesus. I'm just a voice. There's nothing important about me. Remember, in kind of the introduction, we talked about those signs and miracles, or those miracles and wonders and signs, right? And that's what John is bringing. He's looking beyond the miracles and beyond the wonders, and he's giving us the signs. And that's all John, in a sense, is saying that he is. I'm just a sign. I'm pointing to something beyond me. I'm just a voice. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. And he's made it very clear that that is his intent, to point everybody to Jesus. But talk is cheap. Talk is very cheap. And for 6,000 years of human history, humanity has paid a lot of lip service to loving God. Matter of fact, Jesus in his own ministry said, this people loveth me, draweth nigh to me, he said, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, God knows what we don't know. He knows what's down in your heart that I don't know. And at the end of the day, I'm the only person here tonight that I know with 100% certainty is truly saved. Many of you bear fruit. And he said, by your fruit, by their fruit, ye shall know them. And so we have evidence of that. But at the end of the day, he knows what's in our heart. He knows what's in your heart. And a lot can be said, and words can be said, but talk is mighty cheap. See, we're all spiritual giants when we're in church. But what are we when we're out there? What are we when we're on the job, when we're surrounded by lost co-workers or lost people out there? What are we when we're out there? What are we whenever we're down at the restaurant, you know, and we were eating just not too long ago down at the Mexican place? And we had somebody, it was whenever Brother Sock was here. And it was after church Sunday night, and we took him to get a bite to eat and before he was going to leave out and all. And whenever we went down there and to eat, we sat down, and that waitress that came and was serving us, you know, they weren't real busy that night. And there was kind of just a conversation started about that. And she said, normally we get busy about this time. And she said, because it's this one particular church that always comes in at this time. And I'm not going to tell you what church it was. I could, but I'm not going to. This one particular church, every Sunday night, they always come in on this time. And I can't remember exactly what the comment was, but she said something to the effect of, real sarcastically, she said something like, they're always so great. And it was so sarcastic, you know. I said, are they real sweet to you? She said, oh, yeah, definitely. And I thought to myself right then, well, what a terrible testimony. What a horrible testimony. You know, I've worked with the public. I worked 4 years selling campers, and I've worked in the public. Many of us have worked with the public. And I tell you, if you want to really try your faith, you work with the public. Amen. Amen. I've worked with the public. I've worked with the public all my life. Let me just tell you, often it's the church going quote unquote Bible thumping people that are sometimes the most of the time the most miserable to work with. Amen. They have no grace about them. They have no patience about them. Amen. I'm just telling you now. And that is one of the most awful testimonies that someone who claims to be a child of God could ever have. Because we're all spiritual giants when we're here. We say amen to the King James Bible. And we say amen to the old time way. And we say amen to the truth. But I wonder what we are out there. Because that's what really matters. That's what really matters. Talk is cheap. But what are we really? John has said a lot here, but I wonder if he really means it. Is it really all about Jesus in John the Baptist's life and ministry? Is it really? See, whenever we start saying that it's all about Jesus, the Lord's going to test us on that. He's going to make sure it's known whether it's all about Him, really all about Him in your life or not. He's going to. The devil definitely will. The world definitely will. Amen. They'll put the pressure on and see if it really is all about Him. Well, what we find in John's life is that it wasn't just talk. It really is all about Him. Look in verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, that is, John the Baptist's disciples, verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. I know who those two disciples are. It's Andrew and it's John the Apostle. And that's why I believe John's gospel starts right here, is because this is where his story intersects with Christ. And that's the moment where John the Apostle went from following John the Baptist. See, you probably didn't know that, did you? John the Apostle was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. But right here is where his life changes, and he goes from following John the Baptist to following Jesus. See, John the Baptist was not called to draw men to himself, but he was called to draw men to Christ. And he was not upset when they turned and instead of following him, they were following Jesus. That's what he wanted. I imagine it must have thrilled his heart that two men that had followed him have now turned and started following Christ. Wouldn't that thrill your heart? Wouldn't it thrill your heart to know that somebody that you have had influence on and somebody that you have influenced your life and somebody you have sway with, that instead of continuing to listen to you and take your opinion and be influenced by you, instead they turn and they start following Jesus. Wouldn't that thrill your heart? Because none of us are trying to make a following under ourselves. None of us couldn't save people. Not one person here could buy anybody 1 second in eternity. I couldn't purchase you 1 second in heaven. Isn't that right? It's really all about Him. Again, the simplicity of this passage coming to a close here, the simplicity of it all is that it's not about me. It's about Him. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." If I'm going to live, it's going to be Him. I want you to know tonight that if you're still in your sin, He came as the Lamb of God to take your sin away. That's why He came. And if you'd come in faith and repentance, that's exactly what He'll do. He'll take your sin away. He'll deal with the worst part of you, and that is your sin. And once we're saved, we know it's not about me. God help us to have our lives all about Him. You know, if you'd like that to be your testimony, you ought to come tonight and you ought to pray and get in this altar and ask God to help you. Lord, help my life to be all about You. Lord, show me the areas of my life where it's not about you. Lord, put someone in my life that I can be a witness to, an influence to. Lord, allow my path to cross somebody that I can give a track to, that I can witness to. Lord, I want to lead someone to you. I want to lead someone, point someone to Jesus. If you pray, I tell you what, God will do that. He'll do it. If from the heart that's what you desire, He'll do that. If you'll make it all about Him. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you for helping us with your word, and I pray that you would take it and use it. I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, as individuals, as families, and Lord, collectively as a church, Lord, to make it all about you. Lord, I pray that our lives would not be caught up in ourselves, Lord, but we would be filled with the Spirit, and our lives would be all about you. Speak to us, Father, I pray. Lord, for any of us that you've dealt with tonight, help us, Lord, to do business with you. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.